previously on We Live Here.
We do litigation against cities all the time. It's hard to get them to change.
Hey everyone, it's me Tim.
And me Camille.
And we're picking up today's show right where we left off last time.
With the story of Rosetta Watson and her years-long fight and recent victory over a tiny St. Louis suburb that kicked her out of town for calling police too many times.
2 weeks ago, the city of Maplewood agreed to a six-figure deal with Miss Watson, whom it had once declared a public nuisance.
And just a couple days ago, that settlement and changes to a local law because of it became final.
Well, I can't go nowhere without being, that's you, that's you. Well, I mean, which is, of course, and I smile and I can shake hands. I'm grateful. Like I said, I'm grateful. I finally did something. You know, it's not something that I chose to do. It's something that happened, and God gave me a chance to change a lot of these things for some women.
And things are already changing for Miss Watson, too. The 60-year-old domestic violence survivor is house hunting.
And it's going to be mine, something that I own. I can call mine.
Condo house?
Yeah, just a house.
Okay.
You know, I don't need all that fancy stuff. Just something that I can call my own. Nobody can say, well, you have to get out of it or put me out of it.
Miss Watson says she hopes to have a place next month. And while she gets settled, housing and legal advocates are keeping busy.
Last episode, we brought you up to speed on what had just happened in Maplewood. On this episode, we look at what could come next.
Cities who have policies like this now have a model for how they can amend it if they want to do the right thing. And they also have a little bit of fear.
From St. Louis Public Radio and PRX, this is We Live Here, a show for people somewhere on the woke spectrum.
We talk all the time on the show about how nothing happens in a vacuum.
Yeah, especially if it has anything to do with race and class in America.
So it's a good thing to place what happened here in Maplewood in a larger context.
A context that goes back quite a ways.
There's been some kind of nuisance idea for going back certainly to Elizabethan England.
This is Peter Edelman. We called him up in Washington, D.C., where he's a faculty member at Georgetown Law Center.
Kind of thing like vagrancy, these things are very, they're bad legal tools. You can hit anybody with any, just about anything, because they're not clear what they really mean. And so what's a nuisance, you know? Somebody thinks their kid is a nuisance sometimes.
I can't believe that at all.
the sort of modern version of it began with the crack houses in the 80s.
That should throw up a flag for you woke folk out there. Anyway, Peter says these nuisance ordinances often fall under the umbrella of what are also called crime-free ordinances.
Which, I mean, that sounds pretty tame. That sounds like a good thing, right?
Wholesome. Sounds wholesome.
Yeah.
Except they're usually pretty opaque, unless you're talking about who gets hurt by them, often poor people and people of color.
This is a national problem. There are these chronic nuisance ordinances all over the place.
In the past few years, people have started fighting back. Peter says a quiet network has emerged of lawyers, activists, social justice advocates, and regular people.
And he's been following Miss Watson's case in Maplewood closely, and he says it fits in with what's becoming a playbook for those challenging the legality of these laws. Over the past few years, there's been similar settlements between cities that have ordinances and victims of domestic abuse.
One in Surprise, Arizona, and another in Norristown, Pennsylvania, where a woman got nearly $500,000 in a settlement related to a local nuisance law.
It's not that complicated, because the fact is that they're straightforwardly unconstitutional what they're doing. And they're violating a whole bunch of statutes. So it isn't like, oh, well, you did the most incredibly complicated antitrust case of ever, and now you have the recipe book for that. This is pretty straightforward. It's more like, my gosh, is that going on in my community? Let's find out about that, because I think once you have it, you kind of got the other side in your palm.
Well, not always. It shouldn't come as a surprise to local communities that these laws could be problematic, especially if they have a discriminatory effect on protected classes of people.
Back in 2016, the federal government issued guidance saying as much. But here locally, Maplewood officials still pushed back hard when housing advocates started asking about the city's nuisance law.
Then, in spring 2017, Maplewood was sued, first by the Metropolitan St. Louis Equal Housing and Opportunity Council, which we call EHOC, and then by Ms. Watson and the ACLU.
A judge dismissed the first claim from EHOC, but it looked like Ms. Watson's case would go to trial.
Then, the federal judge ordered both sides to mediation this summer.
Tony Rothert is legal director of the ACLU of Missouri, which, again, represented Ms. Watson.
And what happens at them is confidential, but I think it's fair to say, you know, everyone came in with fairly strong positions, and, mm-hmm. and we left and continued working a few days after the mediation session together to come up with a solution that the city is satisfied with, and so are we.
This is like forced time out for like lawyers and cases and legal. I'm just
yes.
like
I mean, it is.
Like you two sit down and work this out.
Well, it does give everyone a chance. You know, it's important for the officials in the city of Maplewood to see Ms. Watson and see her as a human being. Mm-hmm. And it's important for us to, on our side, to see city officials and realize that although they were mistaken, what they were trying to do here was make Maplewood a better place for people to live. And when the humans are all together talking in a room, forced though it may be, mm-hmm. You know, it does get you, if everyone's willing, to places where you can reach creative settlements.
But at least one Maplewood official rejected that view. City Manager Marty Corcoran said the city settled the case because fighting it would cost more money.
He also noted that the funds will come out of the city's insurance.
Ultimately, it doesn't matter what caused the change of heart. There was a change of heart.
The settlement Ms. Watson reached calls for city officials to get training.
And it won't just be people inside of City Hall.
Tony says police officers, code enforcement officers, and anybody else who may touch the nuisance process will get guidance on making sure their actions don't harm crime victims.
One thing that we really learned in preparing for this case, and I want to be strong about this, is, you know, all the individuals involved in enforcing this law were trying to do good things and had good motives. People who wrote the ordinance, mm-hmm. and that was kind of the end of their involvement. Mm-hmm. And then the police officers who are trying to enforce it, and then the people who are involved with code violation, occupancy permits, mm-hmm. All different groups, all trying to figure out how to follow this ordinance. And, you know, it starts to, you can get bad results when the system isn't, not everyone's talking to each other, and not everyone's, no one feels like they have discretion either. Mm-hmm. It says, you know, if you call the police three times, you know, that's that. And and the way the ordinance is written, no one felt like they had discretion. And so it didn't matter. Mm-hmm. It didn't matter that Ms. Watson was a crime victim who was, as a result of being a victim of crime, being removed from her home.
Deciding to fight Maplewood didn't make Ms. Watson's life easier. She still faced unstable housing. And it was hard to trust her story with many outside her immediate circle.
Because, I mean, I'm like, well, if you burn bread on things that you're trying to wish for, and some wishes don't come true. And my main wish is that they straighten the audience out in Maplewood, because that was really, it could be my daughter next. It could be her daughter, my granddaughter, and I wish this on no one's, no one ever.
Ms. Watson says she's ready to use her voice now for other domestic violence victims.
So ladies, wake up. Wake up. Don't be afraid. Get out of it. It's not worth it.
She says she doesn't want victims to shy away from seeking help or escape from an abuser, even though she still struggles to trust law enforcement herself.
It put a lot of fear in me in calling the police. I refuse to call the police now. I never knew that this, you know, what going to happen. I never knew Maplewood had an audience like that, you know. But calling the police for help, don't be afraid. Don't ever be afraid. And that's the reason why I did it. And if we can't get help, you know, if we only can call the police if we're dead, they'd rather see us dead than to come out and help us. You know, just do what you have to do.
Now, we've followed this story for more than a year, and it's still really hard to get a handle on the scope of this issue.
Tony from the ACLU says many, if not most, cities have some sort of nuisance ordinance.
There's no one in the St. Louis area that we're aware of that has this exact ordinance, this exact problem. However, there are cities, including the city of St. Louis, that enforce their nuisance ordinances in a way that raise similar issues. They might not be written quite as specifically and troublingly as Maplewood was, but in effect and practically speaking, the way they carried out raised similar issues.
It can be even more difficult to track these ordinances and their impact because of who they often target, people with less and those society thinks less of.
What's really insidious is that these kinds of laws harm the people who are, you know, in the worst position to advocate for themselves and to seek assistance and to know that there's assistance out there and even to know their rights.
But this is where Ms. Watson's settlement could make a difference. If you remember from last episode, one of the conditions of her deal with the city is that Maplewood will hand over its records to the ACLU for 5 years.
That's a huge deal. It took the Equal Housing Commission over a year to get data out of this tiny little municipality.
And Tony says when the ACLU did get a look at Maplewood's records as part of its federal lawsuit, it wasn't pretty.
The records were confusing. what it seemed like is that that there was not much of a process. Even though on paper there was a proceeding and some semblance of due process before people lost their occupancy permits, it seemed that in practice it was fairly pro forma. And, you know, that's partly because of, you know, the people who were subjected to the process and, you know, their resources and their understanding of what was happening. And partly, I think, because city officials didn't always understand the gravity of what they were doing.
Now, I want to push back at that a little bit, because if this was like a brand new thing, and but this is, we've seen this other places in the country, and in fact, it was HUD who warned cities a while ago, a couple years ago, about specific nuisance ordinances, and so it's not like Maplewood hasn't been put on notice for a while. So when you say like they didn't understand, it's like, well, people told them like, hey, yeah, this is hey look at this. Even if you don't think you have it going on, take a look.
I think when I say they didn't understand, I think individuals who were involved in the process didn't understand what they were doing that was causing harm. Certainly the city has been sued previously about this ordinance. We sued them about this ordinance. They had been warned about this ordinance by many other people. I think it took a case like Ms. Watson's and the obvious misjustice injustice that was caused for the human beings involved in this policy to see that there was something wrong with it, rather than just a a threatening letter and an abstract idea that it harms victims of crime. That should have been enough. Yeah, I mean, that should have been enough, the warning. But when it became human, something changed.
So can a change like this be replicated?
That's coming up after this break.
Before the break, we posed the question of how or if the change in Maplewood could be replicated.
Well, Pat Kelly, executive director of the St. Louis County Municipal League, expects that at least some municipalities will be paying attention.
I think everybody will look at it to ensure that their ordinances, are up to date and again, wouldn't victimize somebody the way this was written.
We will be taking this settlement, the ACLU settlement, and the decisions and the work that's been done across the country to talk to municipalities about, what their obligations are, what the outside risks are.
Kalila Jackson is a senior staff attorney at the Metropolitan St. Louis Equal Housing and Opportunity Council, which we mentioned earlier.
Settlements like this are very important because it allows, in my opinion, it allows municipalities to do a risk assessment so they can balance and really know kind of what the outside limits of their authority are.
Remember, the Equal Housing and Opportunity Council was the first to sue Maplewood. It did so after getting complaints that disabled residents were getting nuisance violations for things like calling 911 for medical and mental health emergencies.
But instead of presenting a single person's experience, as the ACLU would later do with Ms. Watson, EHOC sought to tackle the systemic nature of Maplewood's practices.
The city sent us roughly a little over 50 enforcement actions that they said that they had taken roughly between 2011 and 2014 or so. And we were stunned at what we saw. And a significant number of these, the 50-some-odd actions had been taken against people with disabilities, racial minorities, and victims of domestic violence.
Ultimately, though, a judge dismissed EHOC's case.
The simplest, least legalistic way to put the judge's decision is that we just didn't have enough numbers. So even though the city represented that this was all of their data and the percentages, almost 25% enforcement against people with disabilities, the court simply said it just wasn't enough to constitute a disparate impact. And so if you look at the court's decision in EHOC's case, they really latched on to our race discrimination claims, which are hard. They're hard to win anywhere in this country, and in some ways particularly so in our region.
But Kalila says the organization is not letting up because, she says, these nuisance and crime-free laws are everywhere in our region, and in some places, they're pretty new.
But we have been in touch with St. Louis County's Community Development Office about having these larger conversations with the municipalities that they oversee.
She says the push for change can't just come from organizations like hers. In the last 2 weeks, EHOC began engaging residents in Florissant, a North St. Louis County municipality with a population about six times that of Maplewood.
Kalila says Florissant came on her radar because it has a similar ordinance.
With local politics, a relatively small group of people can make a large impact.
A couple of days ago, before we dropped this episode, the city of Maplewood gave final approval for changes to its nuisance law because of Ms. Watson's settlement.
Hey, my name is Jim Bryan. I was also very upset about the nuisance ordinance. I knew you.
At that meeting, a handful of residents made public comments. Here's portions of what they had to say.
And I was very upset to hear the city manager saying that making the settlement was purely a financial decision. I hope that the council is taking this a whole lot more serious than that, because it's more to do than just money. And I don't think we should have to get sued by the ACLU.
Hi, my name's Jason Goldkamp. There's lots of non-specific terms in the new wording. There's things that are labeled as annoying, like who defines what is annoying? And the word annoying is used at least 6 or 7 times.
I do not believe that the ACLU would object to a desire of our community to do more than was asked of it in order to serve everyone who lives here. I hope the conversation on this issue continues. Thanks.
That last speaker is Kyle Oberle.
A week earlier, sitting on a park bench at Ryan Hummert Park in Maplewood, Kyle says he first got interested in the nuisance law when lawsuits against the town were covered in the media.
It seemed like there was an injustice occurring and there was a real opportunity to get involved in some way.
At first, he tried to affect change from the inside. The 36-year-old former teacher was placed in Maplewood City Hall as part of his master's degree program in social work from Washington University in St. Louis.
He wanted to write a policy brief on the topic, but had to stop because of a conflict of interest. One of his professors is connected to EHOC, which was suing the city at the time. Later, Kyle ran for city council in a special election, but lost.
And then in the summer, he got a call from a classmate who was working at EHOC, who asked him if he would be interested in helping out with a town hall meeting on the nuisance ordinance, and Kyle moderated the forum.
An older gentleman who asked a few questions about how he could be evicted from his property, because he had no idea this was a possibility. And it took several points of clarification for him to understand that the city actually has the power to evict him if the police get called to his property. And he had asked the question again and again and wonder, and he went a very specific direction. He said, I'm older, I need medical assistance from time to time. So if I'm calling 911, if the police are reporting to my property because of medical assistance, then I actually fall under this potential nuisance protocol. He was just really beside himself. Now, you know, there'd be a quick argument that, well, that's not the intention of it. But when we see how it played out in Rosetta Watson's case, that's not the intention of this nuisance ordinance either, apparently. but that's how it played out.
Attorneys for both the ACLU and EHOC cited this town hall meeting with just around 40 or 50 people as playing a significant role in pushing Maplewood to settle the case.
The lawsuit's what sparks this conversation. Maybe it's what brings it to the surface. Without the lawsuits, I wouldn't have known that this was an issue. We need to take a hard look at ourselves and see what we can do better.
Ms. Watson says ultimately, money can't replace what Maplewood took from her. A sense of home and security.
But she's trying to move on. An avid reader, she also says she might even try to pen a book.
I would like to call it Rosetta Watson's story, Hear My Story.
And she has a message for anyone who hears her story.
I didn't know I was going to face this with Maplewood, and they should have gave me a booklet or something on their rules and regulations or, you know, what was going on, but they didn't. They just threw the book at me and just threw me out of my home. But I still have to wake up every day and take a shower in the bath and see these scars every day. And I know you wouldn't want yourself, your daughter, your granddaughter, nobody else to go through that. So don't judge me. Don't judge me.
We Live Here is produced by me, Tim Lloyd.
And me, Camille Stanley.
Alana Sistrunk is our associate producer, and Robert Peterson is our boss.
And from St. Louis Public Radio and PRX, this is We Live Here.
Support for this podcast comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.